So we are in about our fourth or fifth week of Hebrews, studying this amazing letter. If you have your Bibles with you, well done. You get an extra cup of tea later. If you don't, the words are on the screen. This is Hebrews 3, 1-6. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we'd hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Now, for those of you that don't know me, this might sound like a strange statement to say in church, but I believe religion is a slippery slope. And it's a slippery slope that I'm careful, or I try my best not to step onto, because I found myself getting onto that slope at times and just slipping and sliding and working and striving. Now, let me unpack that a little bit. I recognize my need for God. In this place right now, I recognize that I need God. There was a time in my life where I didn't appreciate or recognize that need. I call these the meaningless years, where it's just futile, where it's just working and doing and living with no reason or focus or meaning. But I, in this place, recognize my need for God. I love God. I worship God. It's good to be faithful to God and obedient to God. But religion is man's effort to get it all together for God. Religion is man's attempt to please God, to earn a place in heaven, to earn affection from God. That's what I believe religion is, and it gets in the way of God. The bottom line is, it is all about God. It's all about what he has done. It's all about what he's doing, and it's all about what he is yet to do. It is all about God. It's got very little to do with me and very little to do with you. It is all about him. Jesus is the revelation of that truth, that dynamic. Jesus revealed the Father. He is a perfect representation of what God is like. Before Jesus arrived, people could only really guess what God was like. Sure, God appeared to individuals. God appeared at times to certain people. Moses with the burning bush and Abraham. Abraham had that conversation, didn't he, with the angels, the angel of the Lord. But when Jesus arrived, Jesus announced himself and he said, "Look at me." It's the same as looking at God. And it's this that caused Caiaphas, the high priest, to tear his garment in rage and condemn Jesus to death. Because Jesus was saying, "I and the Father are one." Jesus came to represent and to reveal exactly what God is like. The secret was out. At that point, everyone knew what God was like. So our response, my response, your response, is to live a responsive life. Our response, our duty, our task, if you like, is to have faith. That's our only response. That's all we can do, is to have faith. So what is faith? How do we have faith? Faith is to lean or rest your entire weight upon something. We all have faith in something. Now, I am having faith in this chair, just like you are. I'm resting my entire weight. I'm having complete faith in this chair. This isn't faith. Well, I'm resting on the chair, but I'm also shoring myself up with something else. Faith is to rest your entire weight, to lean on something or someone. Now, this is where the slippery slope happens. This is what the danger is of religion. Is that often I find myself becoming a little bit impatient or a bit self-important. And I start to go ahead of God. I add my thoughts or my opinions. And I embellish or I supplement what God has done or is doing. So instead of living a responsive life, I'm trying to lead the way. Instead of responding to God in faith, I add on, I supplement, I embellish, and it becomes religious. Instead of improving on the purity and the simplicity of Jesus, I dilute the purity and I clutter the simplicity. I don't know if anyone else resonates with this, but just things get messy, things get busy, striving, working. Instead of living a life responding to Jesus, I go ahead and I get in the way. It's as if Jesus is saying, he's standing over here and he's saying, here I am, come over to me. Come and be in my presence. And I'm over here and I'm saying, I can't really hear you, Jesus. I'm too busy. It's really noisy over here, but you're going to love what I'm doing. This is amazing. When you get a chance to see what I'm doing, you're going to really love me more, Lord. This is what religion is. It's when we're working up and we're going ahead of Jesus. And he's just over here saying, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Come and be with me. Come and rest in my presence. And we're over here and we're saying, my prayers and my giving and my serving, aren't they amazing? You're going to really love me. You're going to love me more and more, Jesus. And he's saying, just come and be with me. Hebrews is a wake-up call. The letter of Hebrews is a wake-up to the church. This was written to religious Christians. This wasn't written to those outside the church, as we've already discussed, but this was written to ordinary people like you and me inside church. People that supplemented or embellished. People that became religious. People that added on, cluttered the simplicity and diluted the purity of Jesus Christ. Eugene Peterson, the late great writer of The Message, said that Hebrews was written for the Jesus and people. The Jesus and people. Jesus and angels, or Jesus and prophets, or Jesus and priesthood. We might transfer that, translate that in the 21st century to Jesus and politics, or Jesus and education, Jesus and Buddha even. This letter deletes the hyphens. This letter removes the add-ons. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I've been astonished as I've been studying this book again afresh, having read it many times in the past. I'm astonished at how Jesus is the main and the plain. Jesus is the point. It's all about Jesus. End of. Full stop. Nothing else. Jesus. The focus becomes sharp and clear. And the only appropriate response is to lean your weight fully upon the person of Jesus. To not be holding on to anything else and shoring yourself up with education or relationships or whatever it might be. But to rest entirely and solely upon Jesus. This letter is saying, forget all that other stuff. Some of it's good, some of it's important. Yeah, of course it is. But forget it for a bit. And remember, it's all about Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Just that little phrase has stuck out to me this week and I can't get beyond it. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. As I said, this is a letter. It's not a book. It's a letter written to normal people. Not written as an evangelistic tract, but written to the church. Church, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Think about Jesus. Consider Jesus. This isn't to our unbelieving friends. This is to us, people that would define themselves as Christians. Think about, consider, remember Jesus. The church had become religious. The church was doing a lot of stuff, some of it really good, but they'd lost their way. Church, think about Jesus. I've had a really busy week and there's been some distractions, and my phone, you know, smartphones are wonderful, and I wouldn't do away with it. But on my phone, I worked out there are at least 6 platforms of communication, be it phone call or text or email or messenger or WhatsApp or whatever it is. And it's just impossible to keep up with, isn't it? And some of these platforms require an immediate response, because once you read a message, the sender knows you've read that message. And so this is pressure within me, maybe you as well, but this is pressure to respond immediately, because you know they know you've read that message. We live in a really busy time. Distractions and busyness. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Forget about the and, whatever the and might be. They might be good ands. They might be good things. But fix your thoughts on Jesus. Maybe your and is work or family. Maybe your and is finances or ministry. Maybe your and is politics or the environment. Good things. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Full stop. Fasten. Attach. Join. Secure your thinking on Jesus. I don't know how else to say it. Think about him. Consider him. So how do we do this? We can read scripture. We can read the word of God. The Puritan Thomas Brooks said, "It isn't hasty reading, but serious meditating on holy and heavenly truths that make them prove sweet and profitable to the soul." In other words, it's not he who reads the most, but he who meditates the most. Religiously reading through your Bible, just so you can read through your Bible, some might go in. Meditate on the word. Consider. Think about. The ancient art of fixing our eyes on Jesus is not something we're reinventing. It's something that's always happened. But I think the distractions now are probably greater than ever before. In 1471, Thomas à Kempis wrote, many consider to be the second most influential book to Christendom after the Bible. Thomas à Kempis wrote this, and he influenced people like Ignatius and Wesley and some real heavyweights of the faith. A wise man, a profound man. He wrote, "Choose a suitable time for recollection and frequently, frequently consider the loving kindness of God. Do not read to satisfy curiosity or pass the time, but study such things as move your heart to devotion. In silence and quietness, the devout soul makes progress and learns the hidden mysteries of the scriptures. There she finds floods of tears in which she may nightly wash and be cleansed." I wonder how many of our hearts are just, as I'm speaking, Holy Spirit is just quickening a desire to be in his presence. Just to be in the presence of Jesus. He's wholly available. He's entirely good. And he's here now. I've banged on about this for so many years now, so many months, but the soul care retreats that Esther and I have been going to for the last 4 years or so, the tools, the practices that we've been given, and many of you have heard before, things like Lectio Divina, divine reading, just a way to meditate and to press pause and to fix our eyes on Jesus. Relationship with God. I've printed on down here, I've got 60 or 70 copies of some Lectio Divina. Please take one. Please take it and use it this afternoon or tomorrow or some point in the next 2 days. Use it to fix your eyes on Jesus. It's got a process on there which is really simple. And it's got a passage from Mark which will help you just to consider Jesus. So take the sheet home and fix your eyes on Jesus. It's been said that there are two profound things that every human being needs. The first is to have a word from God, and the second is to have a way to God. A word from God and a way to God. This is revealed in Hebrews 3. We need to hear from God because we need to know what he's like. We need to hear from God because we need to know what he's saying. What's his plan? What's his purpose? His guidance? His wisdom? What are his ideas and his thoughts? We need to hear from God because we want to know the heart of God. And we need a way to God because we can't get there ourselves. We can't scramble up the mountain of religion by our own sheer effort or determination or hard work or perseverance. There's no way to God except through Jesus. So we need a word from God and we need a way to God. We need revelation and we need reconciliation. Hebrews addresses both these profound needs. Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Jesus is both apostle and high priest. Apostle is somebody that is sent. Jesus is the sent one. He's been sent by the Father to come and reveal what God is like. And he's the high priest. He's the mediator. The high priest would go and offer sacrifices on behalf of the sinful people. He'd stand in the way between man and God. Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is both the revelation and he provided reconciliation. This is why we fix our eyes on Jesus, because he is everything we need. He is the word from God, and he is the way to God. There is no other way. He's everything we need. In the book of Hebrews so far, just in the third chapter, but in the book of Hebrews, we've had comparisons and contrasts between Jesus and the prophets, Jesus and the angels. Later on, we're going to see Jesus and Melchizedek, the high priest. Right now, it's Jesus and Moses. The writer brings up Moses. Moses is a heavyweight. Moses is a hero to the Hebrew people. Moses is a real legend, a man of faith, a faithful servant. He's held in highest regard. He's held in glory and honor by the Israelites. He's revered and respected and loved. It's difficult to find an example of someone that would translate, someone would be a modern day equivalent. I can't even utter a name because it'd just be inappropriate. But Moses was held in highest regard by the people of Israel. The author chooses someone of high reputation. Not to put Moses down, but to contrast and just to show how great and how superior Jesus is. Moses was as faithful as a servant. Moses was faithful to the house of God. He served it with faithfulness. He served the house of God. Jesus was faithful as a son. There's a big difference between a servant and a son. The servant serves, it's his job, it's his task, it's his duty. The son just inherits by being born. The son just inherits. Moses served the house of God. Jesus built the house of God. The house that Moses served Jesus built. Sir Christopher Wren, the great architect and designer, designed St. Paul's Cathedral. People would say that Christopher Wren is better than St. Paul's Cathedral, because without Sir Christopher Wren, St. Paul's Cathedral would never exist. The builder deserves more glory and honour than the building. The building is just created by the inspiration, the minds, the thinking of builders. To the church that held Moses in high regard, the author is saying, Jesus is the builder. Jesus is the author. Jesus is the creator, and therefore so much better. To the Jesus and Moses people, the author reminds us, it's just Jesus. Just Jesus. So in my kind of summary, my wrapping up, if somebody asks you later, how was church? Firstly, you say it was really good, you need to come. 1 point to remember, your takeaway. If you forget everything else, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Stop. Secure your mind and your thinking on Jesus. He is the revelation of God. He revealed God. He reconciled us with God. There is no way to God except through Jesus. No other way. He is the gateway. He is the door to God. The great house that Moses served would be nothing without Jesus. Fix your gaze on Jesus.